This is Audible.
Books on Tape presents A Short History of Nearly Everything by Bill Bryson. Read by Richard Matthews. Throughout the 19th century, trilobites were almost the only known forms of early complex life, and for that reason were assiduously collected and studied. The big mystery about them was their sudden appearance. Even now, as Forte says, it can be startling to go to the right formation of rocks and to work your way upward through the eons, finding no visible life at all, and then suddenly a whole Prophelotaspis or Elenellus as big as a crab will pop into your waiting hands. These were creatures with limbs, gills, nervous systems, probing antennae, a brain of sorts, in Forte's words, and the strangest eyes ever seen. Made of calcite rods, the same stuff that forms limestone, they constituted the earliest visual systems known. More than this, the earliest trilobites didn't consist of just one venturesome species, but dozens, and didn't appear in one or two locations, but all over. Many thinking people in the 19th century saw this as proof of God's handiwork and refutation of Darwin's evolutionary ideals. If evolution proceeded slowly, they asked, then how did he account for this sudden appearance of complex, fully formed creatures? The fact is, he couldn't. And so matters seemed destined to remain forever, until one day in 1909, 3 months shy of the 50th anniversary of the publication of Darwin's On the Origin of Species, when a paleontologist named Charles Doolittle Walcott made an extraordinary find in the Canadian Rockies. Walcott was born in 1850 and grew up near Utica, New York, in a family of modest means, which became more modest still with the sudden death of his father when Walcott was an infant. As a boy, Walcott discovered that he had a knack for finding fossils, particularly trilobites, and built up a collection of sufficient distinction that it was bought by Louis Agassiz for his museum at Harvard for a small fortune, about $70,000 in today's money. Although he had barely a high school education and was self-taught in the sciences, Walcott became a leading authority on trilobites and was the first person to establish that trilobites were arthropods, the group that includes modern insects and crustaceans. In 1879, he took a job as a field researcher with the newly formed United States Geological Survey, and served with such distinction that within 15 years he had risen to be its head. In 1907, he was appointed secretary of the Smithsonian Institution, where he remained until his death in 1927. Despite his administrative obligations, he continued to do field work and to write prolifically. His books fill a library shelf, according to Forte. Not incidentally, he was also a founding director of the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics, which eventually became the National Aeronautics and Space Agency, or NASA, and thus can rightly be considered the grandfather of the space age. But what he is remembered for now is an astute but lucky find in British Columbia, high above the little town of Field in the late summer of 1909. The customary version of the story is that Walcott, accompanied by his wife, was riding on horseback on a mountain trail beneath the spot called the Burgess Ridge when his wife's horse slipped on loose stones. Dismounting to assist her, Walcott discovered that the horse had turned a slab of shale that contained fossil crustaceans of an especially ancient and unusual type. Snow was falling. Winter comes early to the Canadian Rockies, so they didn't linger. But the next year, at the first opportunity, Walcott returned to the spot. Tracing the presumed route of the rock's slide, he climbed 750 feet to near the mountain's summit. There, 8,000 feet above sea level, he found a shale outcrop, about the length of a city block, containing an unrivaled array of fossils from soon after the moment when complex life burst forth in dazzling profusion, the famous Cambrian explosion. Walcott had found, in effect, the holy grail of paleontology. The outcrop became known as the Burgess Shale, and for a long time it provided our sole vista upon the inception of modern life in all its fullness, as the late Stephen Jay Gould recorded in his popular book, Wonderful Life. Gould, ever scrupulous, discovered from reading Walcott's diaries that the story of the Burgess Shale's discovery appears to have been somewhat embroidered, Walcott makes no mention of a slipping horse or falling snow, but there is no disputing that it was an extraordinary find. It is almost impossible for us, whose time on Earth is limited to a breezy few decades, to appreciate how remote in time from us the Cambrian outburst was. If you could fly backwards into the past at the rate of 1 year per second, it would take you about half an hour to reach the time of Christ, and a little over 3 weeks to get back to the beginnings of human life. But it would take you 20 years to reach the dawn of the Cambrian period. It was, in other words, an extremely long time ago, and the world was a very different place. For one thing, 500 million plus years ago, when the Burgess Shale was formed, it wasn't at the top of a mountain, but at the foot of one. Specifically, it was a shallow ocean basin at the bottom of a steep cliff. The seas of that time teemed with life, but normally the animals left no record because they were soft-bodied and decayed upon dying. But at Burgess, the cliff collapsed, and the creatures below, entombed in a mudslide, were pressed like flowers in a book, their features preserved in wondrous detail. In annual summer trips from 1910 to 1925, by which time he was 75 years old, Walcott excavated tens of thousands of specimens. Gould says 80,000. The normally unimpeachable fact-checkers of National Geographic say 60,000, which he brought back to Washington for further study. In both sheer numbers and diversity, the collection was unparalleled. Some of the Burgess fossils had shells, many others did not. Some were sighted, others blind. The variety was enormous, consisting of 140 species by one count. The Burgess Shale included a range of disparity in anatomical designs never again equaled and not matched today by all the creatures in the world's oceans, Gould wrote. Unfortunately, according to Gould, Walcott failed to discern the significance of what he had found. Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, Gould wrote in another work, Eight Little Piggies, Walcott then proceeded to misinterpret these magnificent fossils.